Wanted to ask you, is the Holy Spirit welcome here?
Yes.
Anybody feeling the Holy Spirit this morning?
Amen.
As I was praying over the children, I felt, I don't know what you feel like when you feel the Holy Spirit, but sometimes I kind of get just a tingling. Anybody do the tingling thing? And as I was praying over the children, I felt the Holy Spirit. He loves those kids, and I know you love those kids. Several things this morning. First of all, if you are visiting with us, it could be your first time to be here. It could be that you've come several times. I want to just tell you, we're glad you're here. We are glad you're here. And as I said earlier, this is a family, and if you're looking for that kind of an environment where we love one another, we cry together, we laugh together, we celebrate together, we pray together. If that's what you're looking for, I hope that you find that in this place, and I hope you find Christ in this place. I said this last week, but I and several on our leadership team, we try really hard to get to know everyone, but it's as we get bigger, it gets harder and harder. So one way you can help us with that is there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. You can fill that out. If you'd like to be on our email list, you can check that box. If you would like for me to call you, or if you'd like to know any more about our church, you can check that box as well. We want to be your church. We want, and really I tell people all the time, if not here, then find a church. Find your church. I hope it's Wiley Methodist Church, but if it's not, that's okay. We're not the church for everyone in town. But find a church, plug in, be engaged in a body of believers. I also want to highlight a couple of things. Billy talked about the community groups and all that starting back up with the blue sheet there. You can fill that out if you'd like to be involved in that. And then there's a sheet. See the one, the colored sheet? It's white page with the colored sheet on. The 6th of September at 3 p.m. in the Abilene Civic Center, we're going to have a service that One Kingdom group that I'm a part of, where we remember 9/11. We remember the people who've lost their lives and the impact. You know, we're still feeling the impacts of that day, that morning, on our nation and our world today. And what's it been? Is that 14 years, right? 14 years ago. So that's just going to be a prayer service, and so invite all of you to come and be a part of that. This has been a big week for the Hatcher family on two fronts. Kind of on a personal note, I want to tell you my son-in-law, Ryan, got a new job. Ready to go, Ryan? Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo! You know, in my old age, I will expect you to support me, Ryan. And it's moving close, man. Its time is nearing. He is going to be working for the appraisal district. I actually had that exact same job 20 years ago, I think, right in that 20-year range. And he's going to go clean up the messes that I caused. So, anyway, we're excited about Ryan and Kirby with that news. And the other news that we got recently, Cheryl and I are going to be grandparents. Jordan and Chance, we've got to talk, buddy, by the way. It's a whole other subject. Jordan and Chance, it's my grandchild. I would show you a picture, but he or she's only about this tall right now. I'm hoping that he'll be taller than that, but he's about a little over an inch tall right now. So anyway, we're excited about that. We celebrate with, I hope that you'll celebrate with our family on both of those good news this week. And I've said that I'm going to be the most obnoxious grandparent ever. I'm going to try to throttle that back just a little bit. But I know a few of you, and you're pretty obnoxious with the pictures and all. But so I've got a high bar that I can slip under. Galatians 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 16. Galatians 5:16. This is the Apostle Paul. This letter is attributed to Paul writing to the church that he had founded in Galatia, and it starts in 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that they do not do what you want, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Hello. Did anybody hear that? If we are led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, he says. I mean, you see it all around you. I mean, see if any of these things you're seeing in our world today, and perhaps we might even be in this list somewhere. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry. Now, that's not just back then. It may have been more, you know, little stone statues and all, but do we worship other things, perhaps? The dollar, popularity, all kinds of things we can worship. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul just got tired of naming them all. He's kind of like, oh, and that other stuff. But he says, this is obvious. The things of the sinful nature are obvious. Just look around. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this is getting personal now, church, will not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's our MO, if we live in that world, Paul's saying we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he switches gears. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We've invited you here. We sense that you are here. We know that you live in us. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. Heard the story about the elementary students who were in church and they were teaching them the Apostles' Creed. And so they had the students and they would define a different student to say a different line of the Apostles' Creed. And it started out, I believe in God the Father Almighty. And then another little child stepped forward, Maker of heaven and earth. And then another one. And in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. And each one of these sentences, a different child stepped up. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, and He ascended into heaven. He sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come, the quick and the dead. Silence. Everybody's looking around. The teacher is looking around. Several seconds went by. And finally, someone stood up in the back and said, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here. That's a joke. That's when you laugh. I hate it when I have to, like, tell you that was the punchline. Let me say it again. The boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here. Man, same reaction at home. I'm going to have to start weathering these jokes out, you know, a little trial at home. So I guess the question is the boy or the girl who believes in the Holy Spirit here this morning? We continue the sermon series on the Apostles' Creed today. These things we believe. These things we believe. And we recited the creed just a few moments ago before we prayed. And this week, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Now, this passage today in Galatians, Paul's painting a picture. On this side, you've got the sinful nature, the flesh. Sometimes we refer to that as our flesh, when we're acting with our own sinful desires. Here's the fruit of that. You see someone living like that, here's what you're going to see. And he went through this laundry list of things that aren't that flattering. And then he comes over and says, but if you are living in the Spirit, this is the fruit you will see. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what you will see from someone who is living in the Spirit. We, church, are in a constant battle, whether we know it or not. I mean, you know, it doesn't really... we have a president, I'm just going to say it, we have a president right now that doesn't want to admit that people are trying to kill us. We have people trying to kill us. And I'm going to talk more about those kind of things in the next few weeks, but it doesn't matter if we say it or not. If people are trying to kill us, it really doesn't matter. Oh, they're not trying to kill us. Boom. They're not trying to kill us. There goes ahead. It doesn't matter if we know we're in a battle. It doesn't matter, because we either are or we aren't. But today we're talking about this spiritual battle that is constantly being waged. The flesh versus the spirit. Paul says it this way in verse 17, the passage we just read. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit. All of this, God's spirit wants us to have peace and joy and love and kindness and goodness and all of those fruit of the Spirit. And yet our enemy and our own selfish desires wants just the opposite, wants to destroy us, wants us to be in against one another, to be against ourselves, to be against God. We're in this constant battle. The Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus was a Jewish leader that came in the night and was speaking to Jesus, and Jesus said this to him: I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God. And there it is again. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And what he's speaking of is water. He's speaking of this physical birth. Not only do we have physical birth, but we need to have spiritual birth. We need to be born again in the Spirit. We'll talk more about how that happens in a minute. But then goes on to say, Jesus does, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. If we want to, I see it all the time, people... I see both. I see people living in the flesh. It's like whatever the flesh desires, they're just absolutely surrendered to that. You take one peek and you just go, wow, man, that's pretty obvious that those people need the Lord. And then I see people sometimes and I'm like, that person is walking in the Spirit. The things of the flesh, they have been crucified to the things of the flesh, and they are walking in the Spirit. Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh. If you want this kind of results, if you want to have the results of the flesh, then you just walk in the flesh. See how that works out for you. I see it all the time. People will call me or come by, and golly, I just think, we just get ourselves in such a mess, don't we, church? As people, we just tangle ourselves up. When we're walking in the flesh, good things don't ever come to that. They never do. What's really interesting is the enemy, the devil, he will try to entice us. Man, just just flirt a little bit with that person at the office. Just flirt a little bit. You know, that feels good. Just flirt a bit, and they'll flirt back, and you know, or just cheat a little bit on your taxes. Just a little bit, or just go to this one screen on the internet. It's just one little screen. It's just one site. He entices us into these things of the flesh, and it'll be good. It'll be good. And as soon as we get there, he heaps shame on us. You ever notice that, church? We're enticed, we're seduced into these things of the flesh, and then the enemy that seduced us heaps shame on us. How could you be looking at that stuff on the internet? How could you betray your spouse? How could you cheat on your taxes? How could you do these things? The very one who enticed us to do it. Flesh gives birth to flesh. You want the fruit of this? Well, just play in that world for a little while. See how that works out for you. But God is saying, no, I want these things for you. I want joy. I want peace. I want to tell you, it was in 1991. You've heard the story if you've been here very long, but I'd been in church all my life. But when I turned my life over to the Spirit of God in me, things changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. What kind of father I was, what kind of husband I was, what kind of man I was, what kind of example I was. I didn't become perfect, but this fruit began to bubble up in my life. Hopefully people began to see more of this in me and less of this. I want to, there's so much to cover with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go over this. I just wanted you to have it. I've given this to you a couple of years ago, but in case you don't, the yellow sheet, all the Holy Spirit, I mean, I could literally preach for months on the Holy Spirit, all that the Holy Spirit gives us. And this is just some scriptures that you can look up on your own time that has some different characteristics of the Spirit and different things that are accomplished through the Spirit. But I want to focus on three of them today. Three of them. If you belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. As I said a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit, we're not just inviting Him out there somewhere. Like, hey, come hang out in this room with us when we say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We're inviting Him to come in here. Hopefully He's already in here. We're asking Him to come and manifest Himself, to make Himself bigger and more aware of His presence in us. But if we are in Christ, if we belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, dwells in us. Now, prior to Pentecost, which was when Jesus died on the cross, he was resurrected, he ascended into heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It's in Acts chapter 2, if you want to look that up. I think it's on your yellow sheet there. But when he sent the Holy Spirit, he said, no, not only I'm sending you this counselor, he said, it's important that I go away. Don't be sad. It's extremely important that I go away. The disciples were bummed. Can you imagine? The resurrected Jesus is hanging out with them, and now he says, I got to go. I mean, they were not excited about that prospect. And Jesus said, no. It's for your good I'm going. Because when I go, see, he was still bound up in flesh and blood. When he walked this earth, he was still, just like you and I, he could be at one place at one time. Jesus the man. But he said, if I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. He will be with you. And He will not just be with you, He will be in you. John 14 says, the world cannot accept the Spirit of truth because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. That's the words of Christ. So if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then church, we can live victoriously. That gathers up a lot of ground there just to make that. That's a broad sweeping station. We can live victoriously. And let me tell you some of the things that that means. We can face the trials that come our way through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I look around the room and I see people who face trials right here in our midst. All of us have. But there's been people that I've been closely associated with as pastor, and I know some of the trials that people have faced. And I have seen so many of you live victoriously through those trials. And I got to tell you, you inspire me. You inspire me. So many of you. To see the Holy Spirit living out victoriously in you when the things that life can throw at us. Hard things. Loss of life and cancer and loss of jobs, divorces, and on, the things that life can throw at us. And to see how many of you have lived victoriously because of God Himself living inside of you is an inspiration. Jesus said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay into the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Does anybody love that scripture but me? It's like God Himself, it's like He's got this cloak of righteousness and this power, and it's like He just puts it around our shoulders. He's clothing us with His power. It's almost like having Superman's cape on, huh? Bullets just bounce off of us. Now, that doesn't mean that trials, that they're easy. But He says, I've given you a spirit of power to get through the things of this world. And I don't know about you, but I need it. Am I the only one? I need the power of God in my life when I face trials. So if you belong to Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and because He lives in you, you can live victoriously. If you live victoriously, then your life will bring glory to God. That's it. And I just mentioned this, that you know, when I see folks trapped in this, you know, just really enslaved by this sinful nature, the flesh, I don't get angry at those folks. I feel bad. I grieve for those folks. And I see it. It's like, and I'll see young people, and they're coming into life, and they got their whole life in front of them, and then all of a sudden they start making these bad decisions, and it's like all of a sudden, man, life goes from hard but manageable to out of control. Anybody ever, you know anybody like that? It's like, my goodness, you're 24 and you got 19 kids. Stop it. Has anybody else ever felt that way? Stop that. That makes it hard. 19 kids, that makes it hard. You better make a whole lot of money. I mean, we just, and I see people who've, you know, that, you know, just all the things that living in that world, it just produces death. Yes, shake your head if you know what I'm talking about. The flesh, the sinful nature, it's death. The Spirit is life. Do we understand that, church? The reason God wants this for us is because He wants abundant life for us. That's why we believe in the Holy Spirit. That's why we want Him in our heart. That's why we want Him to live inside of us, because it produces, it's life-giving. The Spirit is life-giving. I want to read to you again the fruit of the Spirit. If I encourage you to memorize this scripture. I don't memorize a lot of scriptures like this, but to me, I want you to memorize Galatians 5:22. Memorize it, because you can actually pray this. This can be a prayer. God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is what God wants for you. When we're walking in the Spirit, when we're living in the Spirit, those things should bubble out of us. Now, you've heard me use this term before, but it's kind of when I speak of joy. Anybody know any joy suckers? I mean, seriously now, come on. You know you do. Everybody's having a good time. We're all in the room. We're sipping on some punch and cookies. And somebody walks in the room and the joy goes... It clings to the walls. It just sticks to the walls. That's a joy sucker, in case you didn't know that's what that was called. And what I've said before is, it's really interesting to think about, let's see now, do I know any joy suckers? But the more interesting question is, am I a joy sucker? Uh-oh. I'm meddling again. I mean, do we bring the fruit of the Spirit? Do we bring joy into the room? Or does the joy suck to the walls and the ceiling? Our life should bring glory to God if we're walking in the Spirit. So I want to, as I close, I want to ask you, do you have the Spirit of God living inside of you? And some of you may be going, I'm not sure if I do, but I want it. And so the question might be, how? How do I get this Spirit that Jeff's talking about? Well, Scripture, there's parts of Scripture that talk about repenting and being baptized, but then there's also this Scripture right here that just says ask. Luke 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Asking. God, I want you in here. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. You are welcome here. And here's the thing. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. He's not a SWAT team. He doesn't kick in the door. I can't even believe I did that. I'll do that again. Oh, I think I pulled something, but he doesn't kick in the door. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. Anyone who comes and opens the door, I'll come in. And I'll hang out with you. I'll have dinner with you. I'll be your friend. I'll have relationship with you. Open the door. Ask me in. You ever had those folks that come around, that walk around the neighborhood, and they're usually selling catalogs or magazines or whatever? It's like, you know, I give one of these, open the door, and you got about an inch. Do we do that with Jesus? Are we afraid he's selling magazines? Seriously. Because I may be rude, and I'm not very preacherly-like, but I really don't want that person in my home. I don't know that person. He's going to ask something of me I don't want to do. But Jesus, we don't have to fear him like that. We can swing the door open wide and say, please come in. Come in. Have dinner with me. Because he just wants to bless us. He wants abundant life for us. So if you would, just bow your head with me. You may have been walking in the Spirit for many, many years. Perhaps you just need a new taste this morning. Perhaps you really, this is the first time that you've really felt that stirring. that tingling that I was talking about earlier. If you're feeling that right now, that's the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, perhaps in a brand new and fresh way, if he's been there before, or maybe for the first time, just in your own heart, just kind of say this prayer with me. I'll guide you through a little prayer here. Heavenly Father, I need you. I want your Holy Spirit. I confess that too many times I've lived in the sinful nature. I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. Forgive me from all the unrighteousness that's in me. I claim Jesus, the Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Wash me as white as snow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. May I start anew right now, this moment. I drive a stake in the ground and I say, from this moment forward, I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to bring glory to your name. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Our praise team will come forward as we close the day. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time, one of the things that I encourage you to do always when you make any sort of a decision is share it with somebody. The enemy, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal the things of God in you. And so I encourage you, if you've made some sort of a decision, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time and there's something going on in your life, come and tell me, or come and find someone that you're close to and tell them what God has done. The altar rail is open as we close. So please stand.
Rushing wind, blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me, 'cause I've been born again. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Take me where you want to go. Plant me by your living water. Plant me deep so I can grow. 'Cause Jesus, you're the one who sets my Spirit free. Use me, Lord, glorify your holy name through me. Separate me from this world, Lord. Sanctify my life for you. Daily change me to your image, and help me bear good fruit. Every day you're drawing closer. Trials come, trials come to test my faith. But when all said and done, Lord, it's been worth the wait. 'Cause Jesus, you're the one sets my spirit free. Use me, Lord, glorify your holy name through me. Jesus, you're the one. 'Cause Jesus, you're the one who sets my spirit free. Use me, Lord, glorify your holy name through me. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, and glorify your holy name through me.
Let me ask you, does the Holy Spirit live in you? Then we can bring glory to His name and live victoriously. Go and tell someone. God bless you.
'Cause Jesus, you're the one who sets my spirit. Glorify your